Okay. All right, hello, and welcome to Stasis Pod, the Transformers Rescue Bots podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
And I wish I could sing that pizza song from Spider-Man. I'm David.
And yeah, who do you call when you want some pepperoni?
No, I can't keep the tune.
That's right.
I'm ready for this.
We are indulging in some
Ghostbusters?
Benign Italian stereotypes here today at the Stasis Pod as we are watching Pizza Pie Party. That's P-I, not P-I-E, because math.
Yes.
As we explore yet another one of Griffin Rock's bizarre annual festivals.
Well, also, apparently Pizza Pie Day is a thing in other places. Oh.
It's increasingly a thing. I think.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure somebody ordered pizza for the office at work on Pi Day this year. So that's becoming, I don't think it's so much that it's a bigger thing in other places. I think it's just an emerging thing that people like to do. I mean, Pi Day as a day for having pie and also,
yeah,
you know,
or doing something related, like March 14th has been that for a while.
Yes, but I think it is more...
The Pizza Association has been going on for maybe a decade?
I mean, part of it is possibly that America has never really caught on with the savory pie the way it has in Europe.
Yeah, that's true. America does not have the same fondness, except in some lingering immigrant communities.
Yes.
Yes.
Like up in the UP where you can get some pasties.
Now, weirdly still...
I haven't had a good pasty in a long time.
My parents came to visit, and were like, why are there all these signs out for pasties?
Jen?
Yes?
When you come to see me, could you bring a pasties, please?
I don't live where the pasties are anymore. I'm in Virginia now.
Where the fuck... Oh,
that was in the UP.
I used to get them in Jersey. There was a good place, like, blocks from me, relatively. And there aren't any up here in upstate, or if there are in upstate New York, they're hiding.
You ham.
I don't like ham.
They do say that Toronto is one of the world's best spots outside Jamaica for the Jamaican patty.
Ooh.
What is a Jamaican patty?
It's kind of like a
spicy pasty.
Yeah, well, I mean it's like a breaded envelope, sort of like a pizza pocket or a hot pocket, as you have them.
Okay, so it's just a flakier pasta.
Right, with like a spiced meat inside.
That might not bother my stomach, but I'll probably try one. Okay, we're getting one.
Yes. So, but no, today we are talking pizzas.
I'll put that on the list right behind, what the fuck is that Filipino place I want to go to?
Oh, Jollibee?
Yes, Jollibee.
Yes, the one that we saw featured in our
Gundam
Patreon
yes.
episode in Hathaway's Flash.
Yes, go back to that episode of the Patreon. Yes, besides going to a TFCon and visiting everybody, like, Jollibee is like the fourth thing on my list of shit I want to do.
I'm going to get a tattoo. It's going to be great.
Sure.
So this first aired August 6, 2016 is the 16th episode of season 4, the 94th episode of season of the series overall, which means we are on the march to episode 100.
Oh,
yay.
Have we surpassed G1 yet? Is G1 like 96?
I believe we are not quite up to G1, but we're getting real close. We're in like the Return of Optimus Prime territory.
Oh. All right. Well, appropriate for Easter, Return of Optimus.
That's right. He is risen indeed. And, well, it's appropriate for this one because it turns out this doe is risen indeed.
Yes.
So this is written by Karen Davis, who is primarily an executive. She's the vice president of Film Roman.
Okay.
Which is like a big animation company. So she's worked on like My Little Pony, that Kung Fu Panda series.
That's neat.
And also authored the book Life, Love, Locks, Real World Advice for the Modern Jewish Girl.
Oh. Cool.
And listen, I'm up for pretty much anything that involves smoked salmon. So sounds good to me.
Like sexually?
What?
leave that alone.
Is that a euphemism? Anyway, we shouldn't go there.
Who do I look like here? George Costanza?
Sorry.
I mean, he was the first man on television to combine sex with salted cured meats.
Ew.
Anyway, so we open with...
I haven't heard that one before, I guess. Huh.
Good episode.
Wow.
So we open here with some suspiciously Italian-sounding music.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we are going to see Mr. Marcello. This is the first time we've seen him. He's Steve Bloom doing a hilarious Italian accent.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not sure Steve Bloom's Italian, but Italian is still one of those accents you can get away with because everybody knows Italian.
Sorry,
is fine.
Dog, miss out.
Uh-oh,
we're good. We're all good
we
here.
We lost Rob.
How are you?
Did we lose a Rob? We lost
Am
Rob.
I still connected?
Oh, no. I heard something fall
Benny.
Over, but I thought that was a cat knocking
Hello?
Over.
No, it was the...
What did you do, Benny?
It was the sound of someone disconnecting
what
from
the hell,
voice
Benny?
Chat.
God damn
oh,
it.
No. No more Italian racism to going on. I did. Probably used to have an Italian accent or joke gag, but I don't know. Well, I lived in Jersey. Yeah, of course I had an Italian accent because it's just a local accent.
Just local down there. Like Southern. Southern.
Yes. Oh, you did get a second side swipe the other day, right?
No.
Oh.
Do you want one? Because he's still there.
Yes. Yes, please.
Okay. Are you going to pay me for him?
Yeah. I was thinking I would pay when we meet, but I guess I could pay Pell you at some point.
You can pay when we meet up. Yeah, I mean, same two, possibly three, were there this weekend, too, so I'm sure I can get them sometime this week. Do you want Dead End?
Hello.
Wait, what color is Dead End? Hi again,
Rob. His vehicle mode looks like Rapido, which I kind of want, but Rapido. Not enough for spending money on toys right now when I need to be saving money for the summer.
Yeah, I know. I do.
Sorry, I had a dog related mishap here, but as my squiggles are still squiggling, so I'm pretty sure I'm still recording here.
Okay,
good.
He just disconnected you. He didn't. Right.
I continued just recording because I figured that way, if you were also continuing to record, then we could just edit this chunk out. But then we started talking about my how
Robot.
I have become Sideswipe's walkie, and
yeah, well, but. But I got Bakon Rapido, so I don't even need him. So no, I don't need Rapido. Just Sideswipe.
Because
Sideswipe is a ridiculous color.
He's amazing.
Dead End is kind of boring.
I took him to work because I got one from Walkie. And so I just, you know, grabbed him off the porch on my way out the door to work. And I took him to work. And everybody was just like, oh my god, look at it. Look at those colors. Those are amazing.
I guess he... No, Dead End will be if I see him at the convention, I'll get him.
But I am sure by the time I can, I mean, I may not be able to get back to Walmart until the weekend, but they do not seem to be going anywhere. I'm pretty sure everybody who wanted one already got one from somewhere else.
Probably good. Yes, around
like
here.
Like David. Like Walkie.
I never saw Sideswipe.
Well, they didn't put those cases out until after Christmas here.
I know, they came out weird here in that I found them in dribs and drabs.
Anyway, sorry, I guess we can start.
Anyways.
Yeah.
Go back
okay.
to doing
back
the
to
episode.
All right, so we are seeing Mr. Marcello here, voiced by Steve Bloom, doing a hilarious Italian accent. I believe he is literally modeled after the guy from the pizza box.
Yeah.
That's fair. Yeah, that sounds about right. He looks like a guy on a pizza box.
And, yeah, and even though
Heatwave is concerned that he does... tell Cade that he's not bringing the pizza in his cab because last time he smelled like garlic for a week.
Yes. And also, Cody doesn't know why he needs to get a pizza given that he's already eaten a hamburger. But of course, that was just a snack.
Kate is very relatable food-wise.
Yes, this entire pizza is a meal.
Yes. This entire pizza. Hey, any pizza is a personal pizza if you believe in yourself.
No, not anymore. I mean,
he's just going to shotgun it like Liz Lemon.
I had a pizza for dinner and I just barely got through half of it. And it wasn't like an oversized one. It was a frozen microwave or frozen oven.
Try harder.
So Mr. Marcello, he's come up with a new innovation in the world of pizza. And Kate is really hoping that it is a meatball stuffed pizza or a pizza stuffed with another pizza.
That you could call a pizza.
Which I vaguely recall, didn't some sort of weird overseas Pizza Hut come up with a pizza inside a pizza?
Probably.
I mean, there's the pizza where you got little hot dogs in the crust. I love that one.
That sounds like Pizza Hut Japan innovation.
Yes. Pizza Hut Japan has so many good things. I follow Pizza Hut Japan on Twitter, and they followed me back.
Nice. Well, perhaps
which, like, that's my best follow back that I can remember. Andrew WK used to follow me back, but then he deleted his Twitter.
Oh. Reasonable, though.
Yes.
That means you're, like, 1 degree of separation away from Kat Dennings.
Ooh. Yeah.
I think I used to follow her, too, maybe. But I followed him first. It's like, you put out an album of nothing but Gundam music. I am following you and buying that album.
And Kate is indeed his best customer.
Yes.
Hmm.
But his newest innovation is considerably more terrifying than either of those things. It is a pizza slicing robot.
Which is like, honestly, it looks a little like Diagnostic Drone from Beast Machines.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like,
it's that kind of pizza vibe.
Like a robot with little saw blades that cuts pizza into 8 perfect slices. Not a bad idea. Making it a hovering drone, that's a bad idea.
Yeah, I'm going to say that this is Griffin Rock. That's definitely a bad idea.
Putting spinning saw blades flying, on a thing that's flying is always going to end in problems.
Because indeed somebody accidentally pours a pitcher of what is either water or fountain Sprite on it. And it goes berserk, which is really how I feel when I also have the fountain Sprite.
Yeah.
So it immediately goes on a slicing rampage.
Slicing up tables, slicing up everything. It went bad pretty quickly.
Pictures of the Leaning Tower of Pisa, because this is an Italian restaurant.
Yes.
And just out of curiosity, are you guys from a region that uses Italian?
No.
Ironically, only. I come from Jersey.
And
North Jersey. There's lots of Italians.
Is that an Italian region?
Italian is used as a joke.
Okay.
Often by the Italians.
Because my grandmother used it unironically.
Oh, no. Well, oh. I mean, my grandmother said some things unironically, too, but I'm not going to repeat them.
Well.
Yeah. I mean, she was from, like, rural southwestern Ontario, so that was an Italian thing.
Mm.
Italian food is a joke in Jersey.
I mean, I will note that my mother didn't have a pizza until I believe she was about 20 years old.
Oh my god.
Man, how? I don't know if my maternal grandmother ever had a pizza. Ooh. I know my paternal grandmother did because she was also someone who would absolutely sooner drive us by Pizza Hut than actually cook, but my maternal grandmother may have never had a pizza.
Anyway, so pretty soon they managed to get this thing outside. It is crushed by heat wave. And Mr. Marcello notes that, well, at least it did less damage than the self-twirling spaghetti fork.
I am curious about the damage from the self-twirling spaghetti fork now.
5 dead. It was hideous.
Oof.
Oh, apparently you can get Kirin beer in Pizza Hut in Japan.
Are Pizza Huts licensed in the States? I have not been in one in about 30 years.
I know they used
alcohol,
to be, at least for beer.
No. Possibly? I I barely the last time I went into a Pizza Hut, I got pasta instead of pizza because it's always so greasy.
Yeah, admittedly, I haven't been into Pizza Hut a lot since I was old enough to buy beer. But I'm pretty sure that the last time, of course, that was in Columbus, and everyone in Columbus was licensed for beer. It was a college town. It was a big college football town, so lots of beer.
Oh, yes. So, yeah, so the whole town is getting ready for the pizza pie party, which is a celebration of both pizza and math.
Yes.
Yes, which they helpfully explain in an edutainment segment.
That's right. We're talking about pi the number, which is a constant universally, even on Cybertron.
Yeah, which, yeah, it would be.
They've got circles there.
They do. Lots of them all over the place. I don't know if they have... Well, I guess primarily they have 10 fingers, so they probably use a decimal system.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah, they're probably not using, like, hexadecimal or anything. So,
no, it's... I mean, it's sometimes confusing because you've got guys with claws for hands, or guys with one hand and then, like, a laser gun in place of the other hand.
But the default is a pair of five-fingered hands. Yes. So, yeah, they probably use a 10-digit math system, and therefore their pi would be the universal standard.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, there are all sorts of events for this. There's a math contest. There is a pizza bake-off. There's a pizza eating contest, which, of course, Kate is planning to enter.
Oh, he sure is. Mm.
And also, Blades has been asked to be a judge in this bake-off, which is... And he does watch a lot of cooking shows, but he also doesn't eat.
He's so excited, though. He's so excited to get to be a judge for a cooking show, for a cooking competition. He thinks it's a show, effectively.
He might wear a bow tie or some orange clogs, which are both Food Network references.
Yes.
The clogs was just fell out of left field.
That's Anne Burrell, who's like a celebrity chef. And then the bow tie is Alton Brown.
Oh, yeah. That one sort of makes it. Well, bow ties just basically.
And then at one point he says that he's going to have them, please pack your pies and go. Which is a reference to Padma Lakshmi doing the please pack your knives and go on Top Chef.
Okay. He wasn't shouting and cursing and telling them that they're a shit sandwich or something, so I didn't recognize the food references. Or idiot sandwich, that's the thing.
Oh man, or if he somehow found some way to frost his tips and put sunglasses on the back of his head.
Yes. Mm. Going to Flavortown.
And then Chase would, of course, ask him where he would find this Flavortown, as it does not show up on his geographical database.
Yes.
But no, he's a big fan of Chic Chef Showdown.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Which is not a real show.
Well, no, I wouldn't imagine so, but...
And, yeah, of course, Danny is attempting to enter this cook-off, despite her cooking being legendarily terrible.
So, previously on Rescue Bots, we had the chief wearing an apron that had, like, a sexy beach lady.
Oh, right, yes.
And so Danny has the male equivalent of that apron.
Yes, like a real beefcake apron.
Yes.
Which, beefcake, well, it also it has, like, stars and stripes boxers on the bottom. She's, her apron is Apollo Creed. I mean, it's exactly the same way his trunks
well,
are.
Well, I mean, that makes sense with her cooking skills, because she is basically throwing random stuff into a pot and, you know, baby, you got a stew going.
Yeah. Yeah. Poor Danny.
Man, and also RIP to the great, oh God.
Carl Weathers?
The great Carl Weathers. Like, I think it was Apollo Creed. Or, of course, Dylan.
Yeah.
Who once directed a voice directed a Transformers video game.
Uh-huh. Oh.
Cool.
It's cool.
I think the first tie-in one for the movie with Keith David in it.
Oh, okay. I mean, that might explain the Keith David then.
Yeah.
I have that one in a drawer somewhere waiting for me to put back together the DS Lite that I completely disassembled and then proceeded to wreck, as is my way.
Oh, shoot.
But I do have that game.
I forgot to make a joke when we were talking about pizza math, about bistro math, but it is hard to make a
joke. I don't think I know bistro math.
Have you read Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy?
Oh, yes, I have, now that I think about it.
The bistro
math. Okay, right.
Yes, I don't know why, but that's one of the weird things from that book. So many weird things from that book that have stuck in my head. And bistro math has always been one, because I've never been able to picture what the fuck it's supposed to look like.
Anyway, of course, the smoke alarm goes off, and it is indeed Danny who has completely carbonized a pizza.
She's doing her best.
Yes, turned into charcoal.
Blades asks her if the secret ingredient was charcoal.
Which is a reference to Chopped.
Yes.
In which you get like four rando ingredients and you have to make them into a dish.
Oh, I thought that was the thing we get to later, but yeah.
Because he also knows that it has a nice dark coloring, and it's burnt evenly through it, and has a strong smoky aroma.
Yes. Also, there is a B plot through here of Cody having too much junk and it getting left all over the base.
Yes.
Which,
oh, yeah.
Honestly, Cody has never been more relatable.
Yeah. Well, no, it's just, like, he should just go visit the junkyard.
Well, stay tuned for next episode.
Yes.
Oh.
So, and, you know, of course, Woodrow had the same pack rat problem, and he is definitely a guy who has too much stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Which is tricky when you're traveling that much, but, you know, he's probably got a storage unit somewhere.
Yeah.
Yes, I mean, I assume he has, like, some place back home that is full of, like, weird wooden masks, and,
Oh, yeah, there...
Yes.
We should visit his house in town at one point, just like they have to pick something up there. And just so much stuff in there.
He probably has, like, some sort of Cato Kalin-esque house sitter.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Possibly? What weird townie do we already know that would be perfect for that?
I'm going to say that weird bongo guy who's, like, a doomsday prepper.
Yeah.
The bongo probably. Guy.
Yeah.
Headcanon accepted.
Anyway, so we get to the festival. There are indeed some enthusiastic cheerleaders here.
Hmm.
I love the cheerleaders. I love the math cheerleaders.
Italian flag-themed cheerleaders.
Well, yes, of course. I mean, this is Italian, so everything is red, green, and white.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Cade,
but also, I hope that the wiki put up the cheers or something, because the cheers are pretty great.
So, even though Cade is going to be pulling a Kobayashi at the pizza eating competition, he is buying pizza.
He can't eat on an empty stomach.
He's got to warm up.
Yeah, he's got to warm up.
Yeah, like he's pre-drinking before he drinks, but with eating that, no.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's how it works, but okay.
No, that works with alcohol because like you drink the expensive stuff first, then you switch to the cheap shit. I don't. That's not how food should work. That sounds bad. Well, not that I've drank enough in a long time for me to get to the cheap shit.
So I'm curious. Is there like a Maine style pizza?
Possibly. I mean, there's a lot of regional dishes. There's New York, Chicago, Philly. Probably has their own version.
I want to say I've heard of there being a New Hampshire style, but
possibly
I've not heard a lot of details.
Yeah.
I just heard a touring podcast talking about it one time and picking on it, saying it sucked.
Yeah, it might just be general New England style.
Hmm.
Apparently somebody made, like, a prank video about Bangor style pizza.
Yeah, Bangor is a good punchline.
What would it have? Would it just have, like, lobster on it?
I mean, lobster is the obvious answer.
Probably. Yes.
The sauce is actually just a thickened clam chowder.
There is like a regional style that does use like clam pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, is that?
Oh, that's New Haven style apparently.
Connecticut.
Oh.
Yeah.
New Haven style white clam pizza.
Sure.
No.
they're welcome to have fun no. with that.
I mean, it is here that I will note that my hometown of Chatham, Ontario, invented Hawaiian pizza.
I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, I knew it wasn't invented in Hawaii. No,
invented in southwestern Ontario.
Canada. Huh.
By a Greek guy.
I mean, okay, that part also checks out, but the Canada part is still the weird one.
The restaurant that invented it is still around. I've eaten there many times.
What? Vermont pizza with apples, cheddar, and maple? Okay, maybe not the maple syrup. But apples and cheddar does sound good on a pizza.
I had relatives who used to put cheddar on apple pie.
Hey.
On the crust a little bit. That might work. You don't want to put too much.
Anyway, so Frankie's doing well in the math competition. She's going to team up with Boulder for the double diameter round.
Yay, solving for X.
But they're busy. Boulder and Graham are putting in some new solar panels, which are going to be important to the plot later.
Yes.
Solar panels are going to be important to the plot. What is this? Birdemic?
Birdemic.
Well, we might be talking about the local wildlife a little later.
Yeah.
Oh.
But anyway, so it is now time for the bake-off. Doc Green is there, and he has brought a new secret ingredient, which Danny believes is sand, and that she totally practiced using herself.
Yeah, that's believable. Oh, Danny.
Mm. Technically, you could put sand in it to add grit to food, but that's a bad idea. Why do you want grit in food?
You can really taste the grit.
Yes.
But no, it appears that Doc Green has got himself a real yeast invention.
Oh. No. You have to make a yeast joke.
He's got some yeast.
It's super yeast to make mega pizza.
Yes.
Yes. But unfortunately, this being Griven Rock, a
Rube Goldbergian accident happens.
A catastrophe immediately happens. The cheerleaders get out of control. The yeast gets knocked into Danny's dough, and it quickly becomes the blob.
Yes. It's a glutinous blob that doesn't kill anybody, but it almost smothers one person to death with a gluten.
I feel like this also happens in an episode of The Tick.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So I was trying to remember. I knew it, this basic thing happened in a cartoon.
The Breadmaster.
The Breadmaster.
Yeah, it was The Tick.
Right. I most remember that his sidekick was a guy named Buttery Pat.
Buttery Pat.
Mostly I just remember like half the characters being Rob Paulson.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the butter guy. Oh, shit. Wow, that brings back weird memories. Because he's just made of butter.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very Dick Tracy villain energy.
Yeah.
Yes. And, of course, this is after Blades has been exhorted that he's going to have to judge the competition solely on merit, even as he objects. But that's hard.
I mean, to be fair, as we mentioned, he doesn't eat food.
Yes.
Yeah, how's it gonna, well, I guess they can smell it and see it, but it's like, you can't. Why would Transformers
have, well, then he doesn't know what food
taste
smells like.
I guess. Well, yeah, because he's been around Danny too much. He doesn't know what food smells like.
That's so mean and accurate.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, we have a kaiju blob expanding throughout town, threatening to engulf the entire island.
It almost eats Mr. Sharma, who objects that he is gluten-free.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's right. I was like, wasn't the Breadmaster, like, somebody? But yeah, he was Roddy McDowell.
Oh. I mean, I guess that was right around the same time that he was the Mad Hatter.
Yeah, he was doing a good bit of cartoon stuff at that time. Him and his buddy, David Warner.
Hey, now, David Warner.
Although shockingly, Buttery Pat was not Rob Paulson.
Oh, okay. I was looking into that.
He was instead another Animaniac in the form of Jess Harnell.
Yeah.
Ah, okay. Okay.
Who was also a sewer urchin on The Tick.
Oh!
Yes!
Yeah, he did sort of sound like Wacko without the British accent.
I mean, those are both guys who are in, I believe, by law, every American cartoon of the 1990s.
Mm. Yes, like, literally every single thing.
Yes, and we
get
a new...
It was part of the union contract.
Yes. Oh, what's this? This guy's supposed to sound like Jim Carrey, huh? Oh.
And then for a villain, you have your choice of Tim Curry, David Warner, Roddy McDowell, and Malcolm McDowell.
Yes, Malcolm McDowell. Only a couple times.
Occasionally Michael York.
York? Occasionally you could possibly get a Michael York.
Because we've got a British thespian who could use some work. And you've got a bad guy. Let's make this happen. Anyway, this dough is just expanding all over town. Everybody's running in terror.
And we get live from the chopper report of hazardous food conditions.
Sadly, no Huxley Prescott in this episode.
Yeah, aww. That would have been a good time to have him show up.
Maybe he has a gluten intolerance or something.
Mm. I mean, the episode is a little bit packed, but it would have been nice to see him.
Unfortunately, Huxley Prescott does not care for Italian food, and thus he is reporting on this event remotely from his van down by the river. Anyway, Frankie has an idea, though. You can stop dough from rising by salting it. And I guess they had a mild winter, so they've got a bunch of road salt left over.
It's relatable. Yeah.
Which, like, rock salt has other weird chemicals in it.
Yeah, I mean, that is not intended for human consumption.
No, there's some, like, actual hazardous to human health chemicals in there. Like, to keep it chunky.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that would explain the ending.
Hmm. Yes. So, yeah, they dump a bunch of it. It does stop it from expanding into the residential district. But now it's going to expand into Lookout Canyon, which I guess is next to Lookout Mountain.
I was going to say, everything. I don't know how looking out at a canyon is... I don't know how that works.
Well, as Chase says, that name is now appropriate.
Yes.
Yes, because look out...
And this is these are the Rubios. We've seen them a bunch of times. I can't remember exactly if we know what their deal is, other than they're just citizens. Mm.
Citizens who can be endangered on occasion.
I don't really remember.
Anyway, so they are able to rescue them from the canyon and dump more salt into this thing. So it's slowed down now, but it is still slowly growing. So they've figured it the other way to, there's a pretty good Doc Green here, line here, where they're like, so is it just going to keep expanding even with the salt? And as he says, to quote Isaac Newton, yes.
Yeah, that was a good just throwaway gag.
I mean, Isaac Newton definitely said yes at one point in his life, so I guess that's true.
Yes, he's not wrong.
I mean, that would be a great running gag if someone just keeps doing that, quoting different people to say yes.
It should be Beast. They should start doing that with Beast in X-Men 97.
To quote Alan Oppenheimer, yes.
So we've already salted the dough. The next step, we are going to bake it. And we are going to use these solar panels to reflect the sun to make it into a giant solar oven.
Yay! Solar oven time.
Yeah, so the entire town learns how to make sourdough bread this day.
But first, the bots are going to have to roll it out, so they end up being coated in flour.
Well, yeah, that's how you deal with that much dough.
Yep.
It's very cute. Everybody gets coated in flour, and then they roll around in it.
Yay, we don't have to get the exact colors. Everything's white now.
And meanwhile, while all this is going on, we're still trying to convince Cody to throw his stuff up. Or throw his stuff out.
Yep.
And even though he notes that Danny never gave up her childhood stuffed elephant, Lumperoony.
Yeah. How about Lumperoony, ma'am?
But indeed, she did donate most of her stuffed animals to charity. So Cody can keep a couple things. Perhaps his beloved macaroni drawing, Mr. Macaroni.
Yes. Or his lucky shorts from first grade.
Yeah. That one was very weird.
His lucky shorts from first grade.
Yeah, so he does indeed decide that he's going to get rid of some of his stuff. But meanwhile, giant pizza.
Yes.
Yeah, they managed to pound all the dough back into the park where it started.
Yes.
Which, considering how far it spread out, I'm amazed that works.
And so we decide to, although Kate doesn't want them to make it too thin, because he's a fan of the Chicago style.
He's a thick crust guy. He likes a nice Chicago crust. Can't say it with the age rating here, but I'm sure he likes a beer with it.
Probably. Personally, I have a certain fondness for Detroit style.
What is Detroit style?
It's a thick crust. It's like square.
We have a place in Columbus. It's Sicilian good.
Derived.
Good Detroit style. Also.
Sicilian.
Like, if you have a Jets, they have it at Jets.
Oh, sure.
Or Hungry Howie's.
Hungry Howie's.
Also, I know it is somewhat of an acquired thing, and you really have to do it just right, but I love a good, super thin, tavern-cut, Columbus-style pizza.
Mm. And, of course, because I am from here, I do like a Hawaiian pizza.
Of course.
I like Hawaiian, just take the ham off.
So what do you just have?
Any other meat. I don't like ham.
Do you like, you just don't like ham in general at all?
No.
So you're from New Jersey. How do you feel about Taylor ham?
Ew. Oh. I mean, that may be sacrilegious, but no, I do not like ham. Unless there's nothing else to eat, I don't want ham.
Not even like a ham and cheese sandwich?
No.
Oh.
Wow. That's
shocking.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, name other basic sandwiches. I hate peanut butter and jelly.
What?
I don't like ham and cheese.
Tuna salad?
Learning some incredible things about you this afternoon.
Most people put way too much frickin' mayo in their tuna. So
yes,
no.
I do.
I will make it, but I'm not going to eat somebody else's tuna salad.
I am getting better about it, but traditionally, my way of making it was to put enough in there and then put about half again the same amount.
No, 2 cans of tuna, 1 spoon of mayo.
2 cans of tuna?
Uh-huh.
Oh my goodness, that's a lot.
Well, it's going to last me
a couple
days.
That's so dry.
Yeah.
What's holding that tuna together?
Jelly!
What? Who are you, Elvis?
Are you having, like, some kind of, like, lutefisk?
No, it's tuna fish with not much mayo. Maybe a slice of Swiss cheese, and then a little bit of not grape jelly, any other kind of jelly.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm getting the moisture from the jelly.
Like a sweet jelly.
Sir, you are not making the sandwiches for our road trip.
Oh my
you
God.
Don't want a jellyfish sandwich?
No.
Oh, God.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's appropriate to call that a jellyfish sandwich, as I would have to be peed on afterwards to recover from eating that.
Yes.
Trust me, grape is not as bad. But like strawberry, raspberry is perfect.
Oh my God, no. That's an abomination.
Or the best, elderberry, but it's really hard to get elderberry jelly.
Oh.
Or elderberry jam.
My God.
I agree. I'm with Rob here.
Anyway, back to the pizza.
Okay then, my God. So,
guess I'm
yeah.
not making sandwiches when we visit.
So anyway, the entire town decides we are going to make this giant slab of dough that's been on the ground and probably has like a bunch of squirrels embedded in it.
I was thinking like, grass, but okay.
Like when they suggest a pizza, I mean, I know that's the entire point of the thing, is to make a giant pizza like they did in an episode of Code Geass, but this is pizza that has been on the grass, on the sidewalk, in the streets, rubbing up against who knows what that has been pushed back in there. They have swept the streets with dough and are making a pizza out of it.
This is going to have so much grass and rocks and bugs.
Are there rats on the island?
It's not ideal. It's not great.
What is no?
So we're just loading Heat Wave up with tomato sauce so we can fire a sauce cannon at it.
He is going to have to rinse himself out real good after that.
Real good.
Well, he already had to rinse himself out because he shot rock salt out of them before, which I don't know if that would work. But now he's wiping it out with tomato, which is better.
I mean, I guess that's acidic, but also, yeah you're going to need to clean yourself thoroughly or he's just going to be full of ants.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he's also going to be stained orange for the next 2 weeks.
Oh, my goodness.
And we've got Blades using his scoop claw to sprinkle cheese over it while diegetically singing along with the theme music.
Yeah, the cheese sprinkles is the least weird part of all of this. The children, with their grubby little paws, flinging pieces of pepperoni that are a foot across... Also disgusting.
Like Frisbees.
Where are these huge sausages coming from?
That's a very important question. I would like to know where these...
What intestines did they use to make that?
These pepperonis that are the size of a normal pizza. Like, where did they buy those? The novelty pepperoni store.
This is genuine Griffin Rock whale intestine sausage.
Oh, that... What? Well,
I mean, it's probably just an artificial casing.
Probably. Yes. I mean, that is normal and standard, but like...
But also, that's an enormous pepperoni.
Yeah.
So they cook it again. They use a chainsaw to cut this thing up.
Everybody takes a piece. More danger, but...
Yes. Everybody takes a piece.
Chainsaw suspended by a rope, like the... The shaggy drums guy carried by Helicopter Boy. Helicopter Man.
It's the Texas Chainsaw Margarita.
Margarita wouldn't have pepperoni on it.
Oh, I guess it wouldn't.
A good margarita, that'd be nice. Very basic.
And yeah, so they slice it up, everybody takes a piece, and it's terrible, possibly because it's made of like... road salt and rocks, but also because it's Danny's recipe.
Yeah.
Well, Cade will eat anything. And he declares himself the winner of the pizza eating contest.
Well, because nobody else will eat it, so of course he's going to eat the most of it.
I, too, have said that with coffee and pizza both, I appreciate it when it's good, but I will absolutely take it when it's terrible.
And yeah, he just has, like, he's driving Heatwave home. He's got a giant piece of pizza buckled into the seat beside him.
Yeah, a very large piece of pizza buckled in the seat next to him. And you could see the cheese dripping on the seatbelt that it's covering it and onto the seat. And that's disgusting. But he's also dragging an even larger piece behind Heatwave and leaving tomato sauce in the street. And that's a great image to go out on because it's horrific.
Yeah, I made not eat pizza for a while again after this one.
I had pizza for dinner after watching this episode.
Oh, dear.
I was still hungry. Also, it was like the last frozen pizza that I had, and it was just taking up space in the refrigerator or freezer.
So, yeah, this was a real goofy one, but I had a good time with it.
Yes, I do love some pizza. I do love some cheerleader routines that are about meth. That was a lot of fun. That was also fun when they were spraying it down with the salt and the cheerleaders were also helping cheer on that. But yes, I enjoy pizza. I enjoy episodes about pizza. It's a very educational episode about science and math.
And pizza.
All right, so I believe that now brings us to a new feature here on the Stasis Pod.
Yes, I am going to be doing my best, my sad ADHD best at discussing the rest of Visionaries. Because
Knights of the Magical Light.
Knights of the Magical Light, which you may need to include in your search terms so you don't just get, like, a bunch of TED Talks. so we did previously... Go ahead.
Oh, I think the only TED Talk I might listen to was one that was about the cartoon Visionaries.
Yeah, same. As you may remember from our Patreon episode, if you watch our Patreon episode, this world is, it's got some problems. There was a big disaster and technology does not work anymore. This is sort of what we in the sci-fi fantasy industry would call a second Earth scenario, in which that it is another world that is very Earth-like, but is not quite Earth. All that happens, you get all technology has stopped working. Basically, I don't know, just like electricity has stopped working. It's not cool. So civilization collapses.
It's like what we thought would happen on Y2K.
Yes, this is sort of what people thought was were going to happen on Y2K. So in the first episode, we established that this is a thing that has happened. And with the collapse of society, everyone has just decided to become Renfest nerds. There's not, like, wide-scale conflict. Everybody's just like, I guess we're going to be Renfest nerds now. So you have a wide and exciting cast of characters on both sides, which mostly look similar enough that I've had to rely on keeping the Wikipedia page open in the background while I watch episodes, so I can cross-reference who is who by the animal on their chest. We have the not yet named by the end of the first episode, Spectral Knights, led by Leoric, who basically sounds like G1 Springer doing a Renfest accent. And we have on the other side, the Darkling Lords, led by Lord Darkstorm, who is Chris Latta actually doing a very normal voice. So, for a change. So, I don't know, I guess imagine Wheeljack being evil. We also have a wide and exciting cast of characters who I will not go through individually at this point. In the first episode, both groups, basically Leoric is like the mayor, for all intents and purposes, of the city of New Valoric. Which also has some associated territories outside of the city wall. And Darkstorm just has his own castle that he has his buddies hanging out in, being evil. They're the goths. They're the goths at the Renfest. So this guy named Merklin, who is literally just like fucking Elminster. He invites everybody. He's like, hey, so I know technology is not working, but I can hook you guys up with some magic. So everybody come to my castle. Let's do an obstacle course. And if you make it to the end, you get some magic. So they get through the obstacle course, a handful of people on each side, including a bunch of white dudes and a token woman on each side. Because it is still the 80s.
Neither of whom got a toy.
Yes, neither of whom got a toy. Well, the maybe toy if line it had continued. That long. Yes. Because it is the 80s and we are trying, but we're still working on these things. But they get to the end of the obstacle course, and Leoric and his people are like, okay, but this other guy and his friends are, like, super evil and they cheated a lot. And Merklin is like, literally, I do not care. I just want you people to use magic and be beholden to me. So he gives them all staves, which is the plural of staff, which I will be using regularly because I feel like it's very important to be grammatically correct here. Gives them each staves that have different abilities. And everybody gets them. He sends them all home to sort out their own issues. So at the end of the first episode, because they really like doing these little cliffhangers at the end of an episode, you have one of the characters, Arzon, who has an eagle. So each of the characters have a totem animal that is in the hologram on their chest because it was 1987 and holograms were extremely cool.
Yeah, well, and most of them are like medieval, like illuminated art style things. Like the main bad guy's thing is a snail, because like monks love to draw giant snails in illuminated manuscripts.
Yeah, some of them are like weird animals that don't actually exist.
Yeah.
Like the phylot.
Phylot.
So Arzon he encounters a damsel in distress, which we get to at the beginning of this episode. Surprise, it's actually Virilina, who is the Darkling Lord's token lady. This is the beginning of a long and fun sequence of basically all of the soon-to-be-named Spectral Knights getting captured. In the middle of this, we have a very, very important moment where we absolutely must sell some toys. Toys have to be sold. So the two of the Darkling Knights who did not get staves, Recon and Mordred. Now, Recon is an asshole. He is extremely mercenary. He is not interested in doing anything if he's not getting paid for it. Mordred is literally Dr. Smith from Lost in Space. He is Jonathan Harris. Jonathan Harrising it up. I think somebody, I was discussing this and they were like, isn't he like the Starscream? And I was like, no, he's the reverse Starscream. He is an absolutely sincere bootlicker. I love him. Mordred is probably my favorite character, partly because he is just Jonathan Harris sounding like Jonathan Harris.
Recon was the great black actor Roscoe Lee Brown.
Yes.
You may remember as the Kingpin on the 90s Spider-Man show.
Yes. So, yeah, at this point, we are sort of starting to get in some voice actors who, you know, this is some of their earlier work. Jonathan Harris did end up doing a lot more voice work. He was in Darkwing Duck.
And he was on Freakazoid.
Yes.
Where he was constantly being asked if he was on a show with a robot.
Yes. So Recon and Mordred have been ordered to go scour a junkyard for scrap. It is literally a junkyard. There's, like, cars there. So while they're there, they bicker over their differences, being that one is a bootlicker and the other is mercenary, and accidentally activate a vehicle, except motors aren't supposed to work anymore. So, as you may have guessed, this vehicle is to sell a toy. It's the Skyclaw, which one of them comes packed with. So, they take the Skyclaw, they get in it, they fly it, and they crash it directly into the castle. So, only these two it turns. So, on each side, two of them did not get staves. Those are the ones who are going to get vehicles. So it turns out some of the others try the vehicle, but no, only these two can power up the vehicles. So they take these vehicles and continue their whole little thing where they're capturing all of the soon-to-be-named Spectral Knights. I would like to point out that when they crash in on Cryotech and Galadria, they were absolutely about to make out. So, shipping. They also, in the course of all this, pick up their second vehicle, which is called the Dagger Assault. The Skyclaw is more of a, like, a little flying thing. Dagger Assault is like a bigger ground thing. So, Galadria does manage to escape, and she manages to get back to New Valoric. The first ones that the Darkling Lords are taking out are the ones who are in these, like, smaller outside. They're the suburbs. They're the ones who are in the suburbs. So she manages to get back to the actual city to let Leoric. Also, Leoric and the remaining soon-to-be-named Spectral Knights are absolutely having a big Renfest dinner. It's extremely Renfest vibes when she shows up. And Leoric asks his staff for wisdom, because, of course, being the leader, his staff is wisdom. And it tells him that he needs to become one with the Circle of Light. And he's like, what does that even mean? So they readied the defenses. They're like, okay, that wasn't helpful, so let's prepare to actually have an attack. So they do have a big assault on the gates of New Valoric. A couple exciting moments of that is the part where Mordred gets catapulted over the wall so that he can try to parlay, and he gets his ass catapulted right back over the wall. And they send him directly back. Sindar summons his staff with the power of destruction, which is a giant monster barbarian thing that does manage to make short work of the wall. However, in the course of destroying this wall, Sindar hears a cat somewhere in the wreckage, and he goes and he calls the whole thing off so he can go save the cat. Sindar is Peter Cullen doing, like, a dumb voice. So it's very charming. So he's like, but there was a cat. So everybody gets captured. So one of the vehicles can steal the totems. Feral, who is a guy with a wolf totem, he gets depowered to serve as a warning to the others. Darkstorm demands allegiance, and everyone says, hell no. So he sentences them to 1,000,000 years dungeon. So they get thrown in with the others who have already been captured, and they're like, oh, I guess we're not getting rescued. That's cool. Darkstorm lets all of the peasants know that they are his peasants now. He belongs to him. They belong to him. His totem, to show that he's serious, he uses his staff to straight up suck the age out of a guy, which is pretty messed up, but he, like, gets better. So, because, I mean, you can't have old peasants. They can't farm. So, meanwhile, back at the castle, a guy named Lexor is prison guard, and everybody's insulting him, and he's like, screw you guys. And so they have this whole, Leort gives this whole speech about how this is our darkest hour. That's familiar. So he's like, this is the circle of light that the wisdom staff was talking about. We need a brotherhood of the Spectral Knights. So end of episode 2, they get the name of their group. They all go, may the light shine forever. Except then Lexor is like, screw these guys, and he went over and turned on some, like, giant pipe that they had in the prison for some reason that floods the room. The end. To be continued. They are all now getting flooded after their big speech about lighting our darkest hour and may the light shine forever. They get hit with a wall of water because they were jerks to their prison guard. To be continued. So we will be returning next week with episode 3 of Visionaries, which is Quest for the Dragon's Eye.
We need, like, a catchy name for this segment.
We do. I will have to think one up.
Visionaries Quest.
That's a good one. I like that one. I like
Persistence
that one
of Visionaries.
I like the Quest one because I think that's thematically appropriate.
Oh, this is true. I mostly think of that movie Vision Quest, which is about high school wrestling or something.
Yeah, what? But also questing is a thing that you do when you're Renfest nerds.
All right, so that does it for us for this week. We'll be back next week with more exciting Rescue Bots action.
Works.
And more exciting Robots in Disguise action.
Yay!
But until then, you can find us all over the internet. We are on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We are on Mastodon. And we have a Patreon.
Yes, we are hosted on iaconunderground.net, where we have a Patreon set up to help with hosting and other expenses at patreon.com/iaconunderground. For the month of March, we are doing kind of a twofer for X-Men 97 and also the Marvels. Checking in on that one episode, with Carol Danvers in it, where we go back to Rogue's history. And, it doesn't turn out as well for Carol in this universe as it does in, like, literally any other universe. And it's super sad.
Yes.
So yes, we are discussing the X-Men original animated series episode, A Rogue's Tale. For April, in honor of 420, we will be watching the classic after-school special-esque cartoon All-Stars to the Rescue. So that should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to hearing Alf tell people not to do drugs.
And look out for me doing some bad George C. Scott impressions.
Yes. Oh.
And come find our Discord.
Yes.
We also have a Discord.
On iaconunderground.net, there is a link on the sidebar to our Discord server. Come and say hi, talk about Transformer stuff, talk about Tokusatsu, talk about any old fun stuff that's, you know, in that domain.
All right. So until next time, in which the bots have to deal with an uninvited guest, I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
And I'm David.